Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley. I'm so grateful to join with you right now. We are transcending time and space by means of technology so that we can be together and be the presence of love in our life, and that's what's happening now. We're grateful and thankful to have this opportunity to deeply and profoundly heal. We're consciously choosing to let go of that which does not serve us. And we are grateful to open our hearts and minds together. So as you can see, I'm in rip-roaring mode to go and so happy to share with you. I always begin with a prayer. So we're going to do that right now. Feeling so prayerful, so grateful. I like to place my hand on my heart and to consciously remind myself that I am wholeheartedly interested in being the presence of love in my own mind, in my own life, in every conversation, in every activity of our lives. We are consciously affirming our willingness to be the presence of love. Love is what we are. And so we partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self to remember and recognize that the presence of love is our true nature. And so we're not separate from love. We are one with love, one with our Creator. And all that love is, we are. We are grateful and thankful to claim our divinity. We are grateful and thankful that now is the time for us to awaken and choose love. We are grateful and thankful to lay on the holy altar fire of divine love all attraction to suffering, to sabotage, to self-medication, to playing small. We're finding freedom in our heart and in our mind where it has always been and will always be. We are grateful that the light that is our true nature can never go out. So we're fanning the flames of that spark, and we are the two or more who are gathered in the name and the nature of love for the purpose of our healing and our awakening to recognize that we are the presence of love, we are the power of love, and the power of love is operating in our heart and mind right now. In gratitude, we share the benefits with all beings because we're one with them. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. So Living A Course in Miracles, this is our 10th series. So obviously we've done 9 series before, and you can check those out in the livingacourseinmiracles.com store. This is the first time that we've had Miranda McPherson as a teacher. I so appreciate and love her. She's inspiring, isn't she? And so grateful for her topic of being the presence of love. In these homework classes, what I do is I come along and follow up with the topic that the teacher chose and give you my own take and share on it. And so remember that these classes, all 11 classes in our series this time, are free for downloading, replaying, and the transcripts will be posted. And I'm inviting you to share with like-minded friends, to share with your study group. One thing I'd just like to point out here that I think is really valuable, people have told me that many, many times over the years of doing these classes, and that is that, A, getting the transcript and being able to read it while you listen often helps people to hear things they hadn't heard before. Also, people have told me many, 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 many times that re-listening to the classes brings a lot of value. And here's why. One of the things that we intend in these classes is that they will be healing. They'll be awakening. And, of course, we give all the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. We may not know how to have a healing, but the Holy Spirit, our higher self, always does. And so our work is really to allow the healing and to not block it. And that is being the presence of love. So when we're allowing the healing will take place. We'll be activated by what we hear. Many times we're inspired, we're motivated, we experience ahas. And then if we go back and re-listen to the same thing, we'll hear things that we couldn't hear the first time around, because the first time around we were doing some healing, clearing of some blocks. And once those blocks have been cleared, now on the second go-round, we can hear so much more. So the more you listen, the more you will hear. And the third thing that's very helpful in terms of getting the most out of these classes is for you to I'm just getting some inspiration here. Hold on. Yes, so for you to share the classes with someone and listen to them together. And that's one of the great things that we encourage you to do. And it's to be the two or more who are gathered and to re-listen to the classes. So what many people have told me they've done is they have played these classes in their Course in Miracles study group. And it becomes a way to organize the study group. Many people have started study groups using the Living A Course in Miracles classes as a tool. And by the way, we have 9 other sets of these classes, and each of those 9 sets has 17 classes, whereas this one only has 11. And in those larger sets, you can purchase the downloads. They're not free like they are this time, because the those paid classes helped build the infrastructure. But one of the things is you can also get the CDs and the transcript. And so having that is an opportunity to review. Oh, my. Let's see if I can. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. I'll have to remember that next time. I'm in my brother's office, so I forgot about phones, because I usually just have my cell phone. So, listening in your study group is a powerful way to include the whole study group and to have a discussion. And the great thing is, too, with the replays and the downloads and the CDs, is you can pause as you go along. So many people have told me that brought a lot of benefit. I'm sharing that with you in order to be truly helpful. So speaking of being truly helpful, that is one of the key parts of this series, is where the theme is living the miracle and being truly helpful. So many people who come to these classes are not Course in Miracles students yet. And let me just review with you one of the things that the Course says about being truly helpful. And it's on page 28, which is chapter 2. It's the end of section 5, where it gives us a prayer that we can use in any situation where we're feeling challenged. And this prayer works, it works, it works. So it's very simple, and you can learn it and memorize it and carry it with you in your mind and use it all the time. And I encourage you to do so. It says, I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. And this is one of the things that Course in Miracles tells us, is that we will be healed as we allow the higher Holy Spirit self to teach us how to heal, how to be a healing, miraculous presence in this world. So when we dedicate ourselves to really living this place of, I am here only to be truly helpful, things begin to change dramatically. So consider this. Over the last couple of decades, so many people have come to me and asked me to help them find their purpose, their life purpose, their true purpose. And what I have come to recognize is that for every single one of us, our life purpose is to be the presence of love, which is being truly helpful. It is living a miraculous life. So it's all that in one thing. So if we go throughout our days, moment by moment, affirming again and again and again, I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. Now, one of the things I know about our classes and the audience for our classes is that most people, many people, are dearly interested in being truly helpful, being a beneficial presence in this world. And many people are interested in deepening their spiritual practice, truly awakening, letting go of all causes of suffering, like we were talking about with Miranda yesterday. And we're interested in being a light worker, a light bringer, and supporting the light workers of the world. And so many of us are interested in having spiritual careers as spiritual counselors, as teachers, as holistic healers, as ministers, all different kinds of spiritual professions. And one of the things that we're interested in at the Power of Love Ministry is supporting people who would like to have that spiritual career and who feel a calling. That's really important to me. And when I was first starting out to consciously answer this call, for many years, I kind of just went from taking class to class and workshop to workshop and reading books. And all that was good and helpful. But I finally discovered that I was really having an intellectual experience, and I wasn't really being the presence of love. It was much more mental and intellectual. And so many people over the years of doing these classes have told me, I never had a thought to really live these teachings until I heard you talking about living A Course in Miracles. And so living A Course in Miracles and thinking about A Course in Miracles are different things. Living A Course in Miracles and studying A Course in Miracles are different things. They're different activities. Living it is being that presence of love. It is being truly helpful. One of the things I love about this truly helpful prayer, which actually is what's called my purpose in the Course text, this purpose prayer, it tells us that we don't have to worry. We don't have to be concerned about what to say or what to do. It will be provided to us. We will be given the answer. It will be shown to us. It will be made known to us. So our job is to stand in faith and to receive the insight, the clarity, the wisdom. And that is being truly helpful. That is being a teacher of God. And when I was in ministerial school, I learned how to give a sermon. I was at the Ernest Holmes Institute, part of the Centers for Spiritual Living community. I was part of the Agape community founded by Michael Beckwith. That's where my practitioner license comes from, and that's where my ministerial license comes from. And I didn't start studying A Course in Miracles until 10 years ago when I was finishing up ministerial school, because I was so preoccupied with doing all that studying. And what all of that taught me is that it's living from the heart that changes your life and heals your life. Studying, having an intellectual understanding, that can be interesting. It can be enjoyable. But it's not so helpful. What is helpful is being dedicated to choosing love. And so when I was first in ministerial school, we were learning how to give sermons. And so my teacher wanted us to write out sermons and then to read them, to deliver them, to perform them. And I have to say that I, as much as I'm a writer, because I'm definitely a writer, I write a daily blog every day. I call it my daily shot of spiritual espresso, and I include it every day with a prayer. I record a new prayer every day. I've been recording those prayers almost every day since 2007, so coming 9 years. And you can download them from jenniferhadley.com. We have a podcast of them, and we're transcribing many of them as well. So all that is coming forward because of people donating to support these activities. And so in ministerial school, I was taught to write out a sermon and to perform it. And I was supposed to have certain things like three key points, and I don't even remember some of those instructions now. And I did what I was asked to do because I was interested in being a good student and getting a good grade. But I found that I didn't like that activity at all. I didn't like reading something that I had written as a sermon. It didn't feel comfortable to me, and I was always nervous doing it. And so once I finished that class and I started to be asked to give sermons in different places, and so I began doing that, and so I stopped reading my sermons. I left that behind in the classroom. And instead, I moved into a place where I started to listen to Spirit. What is my topic? And what am I to say about that? How can I be truly helpful in speaking on that topic? So coming to it without knowing ahead of time what I was supposed to say or what I was supposed to do, but being in this truly helpful place, like it says in the purpose prayer on page 28 in the text, I'm here only to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. I'm content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. So this prayer became my living experience of being the presence of love. And so I would go into a church environment, and I found that it was best if I didn't have any notes at all. So I learned to cultivate this great willingness to simply be the vehicle, to be the vessel, and not having to control it or even know what is going to come next. One of the things you'll notice if you listen to my radio show or you're in class with me, I pause. And there are times when I'm about to say something. And it happened earlier in this class where I'm about to say something and then there's a pause. Wait a minute. Just be still a moment. Something is being revealed. And I don't ever exactly know what that pause is about. Sometimes, maybe, it's about somebody's not quite listening, and we're just going to wait for that moment. I don't know. Sometimes it's some other direction is going to be given to me or some piece of insight. But learning to have that level of trust and willingness. You know, we've got well over 7,000 people in this class. I'm not even sure how many people are in the class right now. Now, not everybody's listening right now, but I don't feel any nervousness. I don't feel any anxiousness because I know I'll be guided and directed. And I've done a lot of these classes. I've done well over 150 of them and 250 episodes almost of the radio show. So I've done a lot of this, so I'm very comfortable with it. But let me just tell you, things happen all the time where the technology just is gone, and then I have to get back. I can remember doing some Living A Course in Miracles with Gary Renard, and I was in Greece, and the internet went down, and I didn't have a phone to call in on because I was in Greece, and I didn't even know how to call in from there. And I had to wait for the internet to come back and just have faith that everything would be fine, and of course it was. But I've had many, many instances like that where I get to practice being the presence of love and having no sense of anxiety or worry or fear or doubt. So every day, being the presence of love means addressing these things as they come up, one by one by one. And what I have found in my own mind is that so often I was willing to know these things intellectually but not live them. So I used to be one of those spiritual students who would sit in the audience listening to a spiritual speaker with my arms crossed, folded across my chest, and I would sit there and think, I know that, I know that, I know that. And really thinking, I'm so superior, I know what they know. I'm at least as good as they are. I'm better than they are. Honestly, I used to do that all the time. And that is not being the presence of love. That's not being a loving presence. I used to think, I know it all. I've read all this. I've studied all this. I'm an expert. I'm a practitioner, I'm a minister, I'm an expert, I know all these things. But the one who is really coming to know the truth that sets us free is not thinking those thoughts. Those are ego thoughts. And when we're thinking those thoughts, we are not being the presence of love. When we're complaining, we're not being the presence of love. When we're criticizing, we're not being the presence of love. When we're worried, we're not being the presence of love. So being the presence of love literally means being open, available, receptive, and oftentimes being very quiet, so that we can hear and feel and know and sense, perceive the still small voice. The still small voice may come as an image, may come in many different ways, a feeling. More often than not, for me, the still small voice is a feeling. It's not a voice at all. And so we train ourselves to be sensitive to that so we can follow the guidance and not think that we already know. That's being available. That's being the presence of love. So in every moment, being the presence of love is saying, what can I learn from this? How can I be truly helpful here? There might be a cry for love going on, and the tendency is to complain. I travel on planes frequently, and inevitably on a plane, there's going to be a crying baby. You take off, you land, it's hard on the ears of those young children, and there can be a crying baby. And sometimes when the baby is crying and crying, people, you can feel them starting to feel and think, oh, shut that baby up. Oh, my God, make it stop. All kinds of unhelpful thoughts. So we can look at, how does our mind respond? Does it respond with attack and thoughts of lack, limitation, and separation? Or are we like our Creator? Do we extend love? Because that's what the Creator does, and that's how we were created, as an extension of love. So one of the things I learned a long time ago with all my flying on planes is, when there's a crying baby, I immediately call the angels. Angels help the baby, help the parents, help us all, comfort us all. And I've so often been amazed at how that crying baby shuts the noise level down. Things shift very quickly. So being the presence of love, being truly helpful, it's in our mind that it's happening. Now, in the text of A Course in Miracles, which is something I dearly, dearly love, in Chapter 4, right at the end of Chapter 4, in paragraph 7, it says, God has kept your kingdom for you, but God cannot share his joy with you until you know it with your whole mind. Revelation is not enough, so insight is not enough, because it is only communication from God. So insight is communication from God. God does not need revelation returned to him, which would clearly be impossible, but he does want it brought to others. This cannot be done with the actual revelation. Its content cannot be expressed because it is intensely personal to the mind that receives it. So revelation is communication from God that's highly personal and cannot be expressed. It can, however, be returned by that mind to other minds through the attitudes, the knowledge from the revelation brings. So we can share the revelation through the attitudes, the knowledge from the revelation brings. So the revelation brings knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is the truth that sets us free. It's not information. Knowledge is wisdom. It's that absolute clarity about the truth. So, and this is what miracles are. When we open our mind to know the truth, that's a miracle. And then our life experience shifts in the world of form because now we're operating from truth. So our job, if you will, in being truly helpful, is to open our mind to revelation, to knowledge. Now it says here, God is praised whenever any mind learns to be wholly helpful. God is praised whenever any mind learns to be wholly helpful, completely helpful. This is impossible without being wholly harmless. So in order for us to be completely helpful, we have to be completely harmless. It says, because the two beliefs must coexist. The whole completely helpful and completely harmless. They coexist. They have to coexist. It says, the truly helpful are invulnerable because they are not protecting their egos, and so nothing can hurt them. Now hear this, because this is a giant clue for all of us. Now, Miranda and I talked about something that, and that's in the class yesterday, about, I brought it up to her. I said, there are two motivations that I see with most spiritual students. Two motivations are to end their suffering, to know God and be truly helpful. Same kind of a motivation. So many of us, and Miranda said that was her, and it certainly was me, we came into our spiritual exploration because we were sick of suffering. We were afraid and worried, and we didn't have a good idea about ourselves, We were complaining and angry and resentful and hurtful and all these things. I'm speaking maybe more for myself than Miranda, but we had a lot of issues. We had a lot of issues. And so in those issues, we were miserable. We were suffering. So this drives many spiritual students to their spiritual practice, is to end their suffering. You see, the pain is always pushing us to higher ground. The pain is always pushing us to more loving choices, to being the presence of love. So the pain serves a holy purpose. And what I call that pain, and I think I talked about this in the class I did the other day on healing the terrorist within, that pain, that suffering, that motivation, the negative motivation, it serves a holy purpose, and it becomes then that motivation for us to finally, like Larry the Cable Guy says, get her done. Let's get her done. We've wasted enough time. Now, in a sense, only the ego believes in wasting time, because spirit knows that time isn't even real, so it's not possible to waste time. However, in our human experience, one of the things that gets many spiritual students into a place of feeling bad and wrong and unworthy is they feel like they're wasting their gifts and talents, they're wasting their time and their energy. And even worse, they feel that they're investing their time, their energy, their attention, their thought and belief in things that are not helpful, that are actually terrorizing themselves and others. So the pain is always pushing us to wake up and pay attention to our thoughts, because all healing is at the level of the mind. So we'd like to change our life, we have to change our mind first. And my focus in all my classes is exactly how are we going to change our mind? How are we going to be the presence of love? How are we going to do it? So this section that I'm referring to here, this is at the very end of chapter 4 in the text, the last paragraph here. It says, the truly helpful are invulnerable because they are not protecting their egos, and so nothing can hurt them. So let's just look at this a little bit more closely. If we're protecting our ego, then we can get hurt. And that was one of the things I learned quite a while ago, is that the place where I am safe is when I am in my open heart, being the presence of love, being truly helpful. That's the only higher ground where it's safe and I cannot be hurt. But you see, the ego tells us something absolutely opposite of that. The ego tells us if we keep our heart open, people are going to come in and crush us like a bug. They're going to obliterate us. They're going to pulverize us. They're going to break us down and hurt us if we keep our heart open. So many spiritual students are so sensitive, and a lot of us are highly sensitive people. We're highly empathic people. And we can actually be easily wounded and discouraged very often. But this is what this teaching is telling us, is that, right, like it says at the very beginning of the course, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. So we are real, we are eternal, we are infinite, and we cannot be threatened. However, when we hold threats in our mind, we will feel threatened by things in the world. That's projection and perception. So the way for us to be not just truly helpful, but the way for us to have a healing so that we feel safe in this world, where it can be safe for us to be empathic and to be highly sensitive and to be loving and compassionate and caring and generous and kind and feel safe and secure and good about it is to stop protecting the ego. That's the only way it's telling us here to be invulnerable. So let's just look at that for a moment. Would you be willing to be invulnerable? And I'm asking that question that might seem like, oh, Jennifer, for God's sakes, I would love to be invulnerable. I feel so invulnerable all the time. If I could feel invulnerable, oh my gosh, that would be like having my cake and eating it too, and having, and the cake having no calories, you know, and being good for me and healing to me. That would be the best, to be invulnerable. However, let me just say, many of us are attached, very strongly attached in our mind to playing small. If we felt invulnerable, we wouldn't be playing small anymore. We would follow our destiny. We would live our calling. We would see heaven breaking out all over our life. And when heaven starts breaking out all over your life, people will get interested and they want to know what are they doing over there? What's happening over there? You know, I counsel a lot of people who are ministers and practitioners and healers, and they're in my classes because they feel ashamed they're playing small and they'd like to stop it. Or they feel confused about playing small. They feel resistant and reluctant to live their calling. And there's nothing wrong with them. That's just part of what all the light workers pretty much are healing right now, is we're healing collectively. We're healing the resistance and the reluctance so that we can answer the call, so that we can be a loving presence and live the love and walk the talk in the world. And you see, you notice that in the world, the call is getting stronger. More and more, we can see that we're being called to step up and to step out and stop playing small. So we're playing small when we think we have to do it rather than allowing Spirit to do it through us. So remember, in the purpose prayer, it says, I will be healed as I let the Holy Spirit teach me to heal. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. So all that's required is our willingness to be taught. That's all that's really required. So it says back to the end of chapter 4, the truly helpful are invulnerable because they are not protecting their egos, and so nothing can hurt them. So the only way we can get hurt emotionally, mentally, physically is when we're trying to protect the ego. Why would we want to protect the ego? Well, we protect the ego when we're identified with the ego because we think it's who we are. And so one of the things that Course in Miracles tells us is that we made the ego. We made the ego, and we protect the ego because it's our creation. Everybody loves what they make. You know, if you have children, you've made those children. So it seems you love them. You protect them because you made them. If you make a beautiful cake, you're going to protect it from somebody smashing it because you love it. You made it. Most of us, if you write a poem, you're going to love that poem because you made it. You know, some people don't like anything they do because they're so negative about themselves. But even people who are really filled with self-loathing and self-hatred and self-criticism will still, in a very egotistical way, protect what they made in different ways. Even though it's like, I can criticize it, but you can't. So the way to be invulnerable is to stop protecting our ego. When we're willing to do that, then we can recognize that nothing can hurt us. And the roadmap to that place of nothing can hurt you, you're safe, you're no longer protecting the ego, you're invulnerable, is through being truly helpful. That's why the name of this whole series is Living the Miracle, Being Truly Helpful. So it says here that those who are truly helpful, it says their helpfulness is their praise of God. And God will return their praise of him because they are like him and they can rejoice together. God goes out to them and through them, and there is great joy throughout the kingdom. Every mind that is changed adds to this joy with its individual willingness to share in it. The truly helpful are God's miracle workers, whom I direct until we are all united in the joy of the kingdom. I will direct you to wherever you can be truly helpful, and to whoever can follow my guidance through you. Now, this is a promise. This is a declaration of alliance from Jesus to us. The truly helpful are God's miracle workers, whom I direct until we are all united in the joy of the kingdom. I will direct you to wherever you can be truly helpful and to whoever can follow my guidance through you. Now, when Jesus was walking the earth, one of the things he said was, one of his teachings, and I call it the greatest marketing principle of all time. So if you're a light worker, if you feel like you're a light worker, you're a teacher, you're a healing presence, a beneficial presence, or you'd really like to be, and maybe you have your own business, maybe you're starting your own business in some way to bring more light to the world and to shine your light and to be that loving presence. And maybe you don't feel quite qualified. Maybe you feel that you're not good enough in some way and you're working with that unworthiness. Maybe you feel like you're just not getting many customers, maybe, or nobody's that interested in what you're doing. And there's some confusion about, gosh, I feel called to do this work, but I don't seem to be able to develop an audience for it. I don't seem to be able to have a clientele, and I can't quite figure out what's going wrong. Because I talk with people all the time who are highly skilled and highly talented in the ways of being a light bringer in all kinds of professional capacities, from being a poet to being a chef, to being a teacher or a counselor, all kinds of ways. People don't feel qualified because their focus is not on being truly helpful. They say it is, but that's not how they're really living. So that's why I talk about, particularly in my radio show, living the love and walking the talk. And I'm just going to mention my Course in Miracles radio show is on the Unity Church Network. And you can just Google Jennifer Hadley Course in Miracles radio show. You can download the podcast, all 245 episodes to date, with all those different Course in Miracles teachers, all the different, just hundreds of episodes on different Course in Miracles topics, all free for you. And we're in the process of transcribing them. And thank you to all the people who've donated towards that effort. We're in that process of transcribing them, and probably won't be too much longer before we'll be able to announce the transcripts are available. We've got a bunch of them, and we're setting up the web pages, and all of that takes money, setting up all the web pages and all the different things. You know, to put on a class like this costs thousands of dollars. So thank you to everyone who donates and contributes to that. And we're at Power of Love Ministry. We're interested in just giving away more and more and more and more. The goal is to tithe 90% and just give it away and give it away and give it away. In fact, speaking of giving things away, one of the tools that we give away is the A Course in Miracles app. It's free Course in Miracles app at iTunes, and you can go to acimapp.com, and you can get the free download of the Course in Miracles app where you can search. You can do all kinds of things in there. You can set reminders to help you remember to do the practices that are in the workbook. So Jesus is saying here, the truly helpful are God's miracle workers whom I direct until we are all united in the joy of the kingdom. I will direct you to wherever you can be truly helpful and to whoever can follow my guidance through you. So in his human experience of life, Jesus said,
the moderator has left the conference.
Okay, I'm back. So it's just like I said before earlier, you know, technology stuff happens and we just keep going. We don't let it bother us. So in Jesus's walking the earth life, his human experience, he said, if I be lifted up, I draw all unto me. And that, to me, is the greatest marketing principle of all time. And I'd love for every light worker to get it and know it. And I'm still investigating it myself because I'm definitely waking up. Every day my mind is more clear, more focused, and I'm so grateful that every day I can be more clear and more focused on being the presence of love. And so if I draw all unto me as I'm lifted up. So as I lift myself up, as I lift my consciousness up, as I lift my awareness up, as I lift my attention up, as I am lifted up, I am lifted up. The I am that I am, as I am lifted up in my awareness, I draw all unto me. So the more that I am lifted up, the more that I am available to be of service to others, to be truly helpful. And so this is what he's saying here, is that he says, I will direct you to wherever you can be truly helpful and to whoever can follow my guidance through you. And this is one of the teachings of A Course in Miracles. If you are a teacher, if you are a light worker professional, I strongly encourage you to get the teacher's manual. And in the manual for teachers, it talks about who God's teachers are. And God's teachers are those who have agreed to learn. It's not that you already know everything there is to know consciously. We know it unconsciously because we are it. We are the presence of love. Now let us choose to be it. So one of the beautiful things that it says in A Course in Miracles, and I'll just say it in my way of saying it, and that is that we're already as holy can be. We can't be made any more holy. We're already extensions of God and God's perfection. We've already been endowed with the gifts of our Creator. We've already been made whole. That's how we were created, in the spiritual image and likeness of perfect love. We can't be any more perfect. There aren't degrees of perfection. There's just perfection, and we're already perfect. However, what's impaired is our willingness to accept it. And instead, we're enamored of the meaning that we made. So going back to what I was saying is we get so attached to the meaning that we've made of things, our interpretation. And then the meaning that we've made of things, if it's not true, it's all about separation. It's all about lack and limitation. And when we become mentally attached to thoughts of lack and limitation, thoughts of lack and attack, then we feel guilty, then we feel ashamed, and we feel bad and wrong, and we feel like we should be punished. Because that's what the ego does when it doesn't like something. It goes into punishing, blaming, shaming, attacking. Blame, shame, regret, resentment, hurt, all forms of upset are some kind of attack. And it might not be readily observable, but they're all attacks on God. So that's why we feel so vulnerable, because whether we consciously know it or not, all those thoughts of lack and limitation, all those thoughts of resentment and regret and hurt and guilt and blame and shame, they're all a form of an attack on God. Because whether we're directing it at ourselves or our brothers and sisters, because we're all one, because we're all extensions of God, we are attacking God when we're attacking anyone, including ourselves. And then, whether we consciously know it or not, we feel guilty and ashamed for attacking God. And then, of course, we make the meaning of it that God will not accept us anymore, that we'll be labeled bad and wrong. And that's what the prodigal son story is all about. It's all about recognizing that in our mind, we took our inheritance, which is that we're already as perfect can be. We're already as holy can be. That's our inheritance. That's our true nature. We took that, and we seemed to have left our father's house and gone on a journey of exploration, thinking that we're a body, and becoming enamored of dressing up the body, experiencing the body pleasures, and also the body degradation and the extremes, right? This human experience is a world of contrast. It's a world of seeming duality. So we learn through experiencing the appearance of duality, the appearance of contrast. We went through this whole adventure, and we're on our way back home almost now. We're in that choice point. So in the story of the prodigal son, he takes his inheritance and he squanders it in the world. Now, in the squandering of it versus investing it, he squanders it. So he spends it. He goes into that place where he ends up, where he's living amongst the pigs. And so in that society, in that culture, when Jesus was talking about the story, the parable of the prodigal son, you have to remember that these are Jews who don't eat pigs because pigs are unclean. And so the pig is the lowest of the low. Pigs eat garbage. And so here's the prodigal son, the good Jewish son who left, squandered his inheritance. And where does he end up? He ends up living in squalor with the pigs, fighting the pigs for scraps. And when he's sunk so low, he now has some humility. We can't authentically, truly be the presence of love in this world without humility. It's absolutely essential. We cannot understand the unity of all life without having humility. We can intellectually say, I know that. I know there's only one. But we won't be living it until we have true humility. This is something I work on every day. Every day. And the ego alternates between saying better than, less than, better than, less than, better than, less than. Label, 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 label. That's what the ego does. The ego is constantly trying to label everything, to define it as either good or bad, right or wrong. So whenever we're in opinion and judgment, we know we're identified with the ego, we're not being truly helpful, we're not being the presence of love, we're not living a miraculous life, we're not remotely interested in those things when we're judging, when we're believing our opinions, sharing our opinions, energizing our opinions. Humility is recognizing that there is no better than, and there is no less than, nor could there ever be. If all is one, how could there be better than or less than? It's just not possible. All is one, there's no better than, there's no less than. And that's the place of true humility in the mind. No one is better, no one is worse. All is one. When we are willing to live from that space of true humility, then we can have an understanding of the oneness of all life. Without it, it just resides in our mind. It doesn't live in our heart, and we're not being the presence of love. So cultivating that awareness whenever the ego is trying to manipulate us into labeling best than, best than, less than, or better than. Whenever there's a temptation to go into good, better, best, less than, better than, it's an ego temptation. So there is the prodigal son fighting the pigs for scraps. He's in a place of humility. He has sunk as low as any Jewish son could sink, to be fighting the pigs for scraps, living amongst the pigs, in the filth and the squalor. That's why Jesus used it for the parable. And it's in that place of humility where the ego has nothing anymore, that it comes into the prodigal son's mind, I could go home to my father and be a servant in my father's house, and I would be better off. I would have better food to eat, better clothes to wear, better shelter. I wouldn't be living with these pigs, not in my father's house as a servant. Now, it's really important, I feel, to understand that Jesus said, being a servant in my Father's house, being truly helpful in my Father's house, serving my Father. Now, I'm someone that, and I talked about this recently, when I first started taking spiritual classes at Agape and people would use the word God, I thought, oh, let's not use the God word. I don't like the God word. It represents so many things that I don't like, and the patriarchy and the oppression of women and the belief that God is a man or a male figure. But you know what? This is what Jesus used. This is what the Christian terminology is, and many faiths. And I certainly do not believe that God is made in the human image as a male father figure. But I do feel the Mother, Father, God presence and the Divine Father and the Divine Mother. And I am not interested in arguing about gender of God or being offended by anybody's specific way of describing God. But I think that the story, the parable, is very helpful to think of the child going home to the family and the loving parents who welcome him and have no judgment. They're just grateful he's returned. Of course, this is the message of the prodigal son, that once he reaches that place of humility and recognizes he would be happier being a servant in his father's house, then he has motivation to go home. And when he goes home, he is welcomed fully and completely. And his parents, who love him, are just grateful that he's returned. They're not angry that he squandered his inheritance because they have abundance. They have prosperity. And money, stuff is just stuff. But love, relationship, connection is the pearl beyond price. And that's what's returned to them. That which truly matters is returned to them. And so they are celebrating. And it's the same in the story of the day laborers, you know, that Jesus tells, where the landlord, the owner of the farm, has people to come and pick the crops, and he offers a penny for the day, and then people come in the morning, they come all throughout the day, he keeps bringing in more workers and more workers, and the people who come in late in the day get paid the same amount of money as the people who came in early in the day. And the people who came in early are angry, saying, hey, that's not fair. You're giving them the same amount of money, but they didn't do the same amount of work. And the point of the parable is that it doesn't matter when you come. And it doesn't matter how much work you've done. What matters is that you have come home. You have said yes to tilling the field, to picking the crop, to the harvest. That's what matters, is that you have showed up and you have said, yes, use me. So he's got so many parables, Jesus does, in his human teaching life, of whenever we make this decision to be truly helpful, to go home, to live a miraculous life, all of heaven will rejoice, and every single belief that we have, that we are unworthy, that we don't deserve, that there's something wrong with us, that we shouldn't get, the whole celebration, the party, the benefit, all of that will be forgotten. It won't even be remembered anymore. So he says, I will direct you to wherever you can be truly helpful, and to whoever can follow my guidance through you. So this was one of the revelations I had in my personal practice of these truth teachings. Is because I used to think, well, how am I ever going to have a successful ministry? How will I ever make a living as a minister? How will I ever do this? I don't understand about marketing. I don't even like marketing. I don't like any of this. It feels really hard to me. There's all this stuff about the internet. I don't want to have to learn it. All these things, conference calls and email newsletters and, oh my Lord, websites. It's too much. I can't, what? No. So hard, and it has nothing to do with ministry. You know, that's how I began. And I was taking classes in marketing and trying to learn techniques and things like that. But then I moved into that space through my willingness to be truly helpful, my decision to be truly helpful. And I just moved into that place where I just said, you know what, just lead me and guide me. I'm going to stop trying to figure it out. I've been laboring in vain for a long time trying to figure this stuff out. And I can see now that I've just lost my mind. Instead, let me be lifted up. And then if there's someone I can be of service to, they'll find me. I will be put in amongst them. And I don't have to figure it out anymore. The ego is constantly trying to understand things, to figure them out, to make sense of them. And because the ego is always confused. Of course the ego is always confused. The ego is always trying to get caught up. And the ego always says, there's not enough time. The ego always says, I've got lack on my side. I've got limitation on my side. I don't have enough. There's not enough. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. There's not enough love. There's not enough of anything. When we are having those thoughts, we are protecting the ego. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with a spiritual student where they are asking for guidance or help. They're asking for insight and clarity. And you make a suggestion, and they're like, yeah, but you don't understand my situation. And then they start defending their belief in lack and limitation and how it's showing up in their life. And they're absolutely convinced that the lack and limitation they're experiencing starts in the world, not in their mind, but in the world. And if they could just cure the world of sending them this lack and limitation experience, then they could experience abundance and prosperity. Thinking that what they're experiencing in the world is created by something outside of them rather than in their own mind. And of course, the whole teaching of A Course in Miracles is about being willing to change our mind in order to have a different experience. And again, we can come from the place of, I just want to stop my suffering. But the faster path to healing, the faster path to living the life you truly desire and feeling peaceful, is my choice is to know God, to feel God, to be the presence of love in my life, and to let everything else follow. Putting first being the presence of love. And that's what I did. I said, okay, I'm going to be lifted up. I don't know how to be lifted up, but I'm going to just pray on it, and I'm going to start looking for the most loving choices I can find in every moment. And I'm going to start being extremely mindful when the temptation is to be unloving, to be unkind, to be ungenerous, to be snarky. I'm going to stop being critical and judgmental and opinionated. I'm going to stop blaming other people for how I feel. I'm going to notice and become hyper aware when I am affirming a belief in lack and limitation. I don't know any person on this planet that I've ever met and talked to who's experiencing lack and limitation who isn't focused on lack and limitation. People who experience lack and limitation are not focused on prosperity and abundance. They're not focused on being truly helpful. Now, one thing that's really important to understand, and then we're going to wrap this up here. One thing that's really important to understand is that giving is not better than receiving. Because there's only one place to receive from, and that's the infinite love of God. So how could giving be better than receiving? If we are not receiving divine insight, wisdom, guidance, and clarity, then whatever we're trying to give is going to be giving from the ego. And that's giving in order to get something back. So when I started out as a counselor, as a practitioner, I was giving in order to get stuff in return. I'm giving away free sessions to get clients. I'm giving away free classes to get clients. I'm giving away my time and energy so that people will give me a donation or a tithe. Giving to get just affirms that you don't have. Giving to get just affirms that you don't already have. And you're actually trying to manipulate other people or God or the universe to give you something because you have lack. And so many spiritual students and teachers demonstrate that mindset of, I'm giving to get. So I'm inviting you to think about in your life, in your relationships, are you doing anything in order to get? One clue is, do you feel unappreciated? If you feel unappreciated, you're giving to get. If you feel unappreciated, you are giving to get. Giving to get is an affirmation of lack, and it will only bring more lack. So if you're not giving from the overflow of good in your life, you're affirming lack and limitation, and you will only experience more of it. That's not helpful. Now, ultimately, you'll learn from it, as I definitely did, because I used to give to get all the time. I pretty much only gave to get. Seriously. Just whatever I was giving it to get something back. And I was a great scorekeeper. I was constantly keeping score. And I moved into a place that became my place of prosperity, which is realizing that everything I give to God, and everything I receive from God. And so once I realized that, well, wait a minute, there's only one place to receive from, only one place to give to, so the score is always perfect. I don't have to keep score anymore. I don't have to invest my energy in that anymore. Whew. I stopped keeping score, and I realized so much freedom and joy in when I felt inspired by Spirit to give. I could just give without any sense of strings attached. And if somebody felt inspired to give to me, for in any way, I could just receive it and know that I was worthy and feel grateful and accept it gratefully. And that was life-changing for me. And that was the beginning of my true end of the experience of lack. And it's not that I have a whole lot more income than I did then, because mostly the income stays in the ministry to promote it, to build the free app and the free classes and stuff like that. That's my choice to invest in those things rather than accumulate personal wealth. But I always feel abundant and prosperous now. I don't worry about money anymore. And for a long time as a minister teaching classes and doing this work, I had no idea whether enough donations and things would come in to pay my rent. But I just trusted and had faith that I would be provided for. And so I learned pretty quick that I could give up a belief in lack and limitation. And of course, I'm still fine-tuning that all the time. Some things I would like to share with you are some free things that you can partake of, and some other things if you'd like to take some further steps towards living this life of being a service and with my help. So I've already told you about the radio show. I've already told you I write daily inspiration, and I have a daily prayer every day. You can get, sign up for my daily Spiritual Espresso blog in your email, and you can call my daily prayer every day. You can download those prayers every day. You can listen to them on the web every day. If you go to the events page at jenniferhadley.com, I have a summit that I did last fall that was specifically designed for light workers to break out of lack and limitation. So if this is a topic that interests you, I have, I forget how many classes we had, maybe 9 or 10 classes in that series, and it was called Stop Playing Small. Stop Playing Small for Light Workers. And so all those classes are free. And I think we pretty much have all the transcripts there and the downloads there and the replays there, and it's all free. You just have to register for it at jenniferhadley.com, Stop Playing Small. Now, one of the things that will happen is you'll get some more emails, and I know with doing these summits, it's a lot of emails of reminders. So, but that's a free resource for you. Another thing that stands in the way for a lot of light workers is they don't forgive themselves, or it seems like they don't forgive others. So I have a free forgiveness workshop on the homepage of jenniferhadley.com called How to Get Over It. How to Get Over It. It's totally free. With all of these free classes and workshops, I encourage you to get a few people together and say, you know what, today let's do a workshop on forgiveness at my house. I've got these tools from Jennifer. We can listen to the workshop, pause it. You can bring some food, have potluck supper, whatever you like. Obviously, get creative with it. But be the two or more who are gathered. Even if you just invite one person, maybe it's just your spouse or your best friend or your child or whomever. But that's what these things are designed for, so that you'll actually do the work. And very often when we are the two or more who are gathered doing the work together, we get a lot more accomplished because we're the two or more who are gathered. So I'm inviting you to use these free resources to do that. Now, I'm also going to mention some paid things that are coming up. And most of these things are listed at jenniferhadley.com on the events page, or they will be shortly. So I'm training spiritual counselors, and I also have trainings for people who are already coaches and therapists and teachers and people who are interested in maybe exploring a career. So I have my spiritual counseling intensive. And the next one is in early September in England, and it's in the beautiful medieval city of Salisbury in Wiltshire, and that's a week-long spiritual counseling intensive training. And prior to that, I'm doing a small group of sacred sightseeing, and we're going to go to Stonehenge and Salisbury and Glastonbury and Bath and Avebury, some of my very favorite sacred sites in the world. It's going to be a lot of fun traveling around together for 4 nights and 5 days. And so that's a small group that will sell out. So if you have any interest in that, please register for that right away. My sacred site tour in the UK, and you can combine that with the spiritual counseling training intensive. That's a bunch of people are doing that. And then we have my next spiritual counseling intensive training is in November. It's in Thailand, so that we can go to a beautiful resort in Thailand and we can get lots of pampering and things like that, Thai massage, and have a lovely, gorgeous getaway time. So that's another option. Also in Thailand in November is going to be my self-love and extreme pampering retreat. That's a week-long retreat of self-love and extreme pampering. So I'm basically luring you in with extreme pampering to support you in doing that self-love work. And that's going to be a lot of fun. My retreats are always very healing and a lot of fun. We like to combine the two. And so I'm also doing some events in the United States. So I'm going to be in Atlanta, August 9th to 14th. And so I'm doing workshops, visiting Course in Miracles study groups there. If you have an interest in participating in any of that, you can write to us and let us know, and we'll keep you posted on that. And then in October, I'm doing two retreats. Columbus Day weekend, Living A Course in Miracles retreat. So we're going to dive deep with A Course in Miracles at a beautiful, beautiful retreat center called the the Art of Living Retreat Center in North Carolina, up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's spectacular. The fall foliage promises to be unbelievably gorgeous. They have great food. They have an Ayurvedic spa. They have the best spa treatments. I've tried a lot of them. It's really a nice place to have some pampering and to have a great getaway in the mountains. The energy there is gorgeous. So that's Columbus Day weekend, Living A Course in Miracles retreat. The following weekend, I am doing a forgiveness retreat. So you can actually come to both retreats and stay in the middle if you like, or you can come and go. And so there's those two retreats in October. And then at the end of the year, I'm doing my New Year's retreat, also in North Carolina, the same retreat center. We're going to do starting December 30th to January 2nd, we're going to do a New Year's reboot. So we can start the year with like a rocket. And I'll also be sharing with you information at the end of the series about my 7-week spiritual boot camp class, my Finding Freedom class that so many people have used to turn things around. Also, if you're a healthcare professional, you can take Finding Freedom for continuing education units. So, and we can help you if you need any help getting your CEUs or CLUs to by taking Finding Freedom. So it's a great way to combine your spiritual expansion with fulfilling your professional obligations. So we've put a lot of work into that, and we can help you with that. I know there's more. There's always more because we're busy at the Power of Love Ministry, and we love you, and we love sharing. So I'm going to say a prayer here to close us out, and I'm so grateful for you showing up because, you know what? You are the answer prayer. You are my answered prayer. Remember how I was telling you that I was just whining and moaning, how am I ever going to do this? How am I ever going to be a successful minister? Well, what I'm telling you is I proved it, that if I focused on being a loving presence and being truly helpful, then Spirit put me in the place little by little to serve, to be helpful. We lift each other up. We are each other's answered prayer. And this is what A Course in Miracles tells us over and over and over again, is that we are each other's salvation. So I'm inviting you to place your hand on your heart, and let's be so grateful and so thankful that this day has come, that this moment has come, that we are willing to be truly helpful. We are willing to let the experience of lack and limitation dissolve and resolve permanently back to its root cause. We are grateful and thankful to surrender all the habits of giving to get and playing small. We are grateful and thankful to give up all the habits of being vulnerable and afraid and worried and doubtful and ashamed. We're giving it all up. We're going home. We're grateful and thankful to take a stand, to be here, to represent the one who sent us. We are grateful and thankful that we no longer have to worry about what to say or what to do because we're so willing to be shown, to be told, to be taught. We are grateful and thankful to be content that we are being led, guided, and directed to how we can be truly helpful. We are grateful and thankful to claim a miraculous life and a miraculous healing. We share the benefits with everyone because we are one with them. In deep and abiding gratitude, we let it be. We know it's done. And so it is. Amen. 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 I love you. I thank God for you. And oh my gosh, we've got another class tomorrow and another class the day after that. So join us for all these beautiful classes. Thank you for being here with me now. I feel you. It's beautiful. We're being truly helpful. Mwah!
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.